thank you all so much for coming along today. So we did one of these sessions 3 or 4 weeks ago when we first opened the consultation. And the immediate feedback we had that everybody was fairly well in agreement for was that we needed to make some immediate changes. And so we did. We made those changes fairly quickly. And we were able to get it all happening. And Frances uploaded all of those changes. So Frances is going to run us through that today. And then we'll open it up. So this is just another opportunity for consultation. I know many people have put submissions in, and Frances will give us those numbers, especially those from WA. Thank you. We appreciate your input. And so we assure you your voice has been heard from WA. Great. So TAFE New South Wales asked for an extension, and we said no. Because if WA can get theirs in, then New South Wales can get theirs in, right? So they're working on their submission now. So, Frances, why don't you give everybody an update and tell us where we're up to?
Okay, well, we've had quite a good response to the questionnaire online. We've had 80 responses so far, and the majority are from WA. In fact, 44 out of the 80 are from WA. We've had 12 from New South Wales, Victoria and Queensland, 6 each, and South Australia 3. So we'd encourage the other states to try and make up the numbers, get up to WA's numbers, which would be great. I do know, though, that some people are going to provide, still in the process of providing feedback, and we have got one more week, but as a result of this meeting, I'm hoping to get a feel for how many people are going to be putting in feedback so we can plan for how we're going to do the work on incorporating and, you know, discussing that feedback. So in terms of today, and in terms of the survey, the feedback has been very supportive of the qualifications as put forward. So the feedback's been pretty high level, but in general, I mean, we did have a few no's where people said, no, don't support Cert 2 or Cert 3, you know, it should start higher or whatever. But well and truly, the majority of responses have been in support. So today, what I'm wanting to get out of the meeting and from participants is to get your, it's an opportunity to provide some direct feedback on anything you think with each of the quals, whether the there's something in the core that shouldn't be in the core, or that something or should be in the core, the same with electives, and get your feel on the additional electives suggested for diploma of surveying and advanced diploma of surveying, as well as I'd also like to get some sort of sense of areas within the units, areas that people think need to be adjusted. Now, I do know we've already had feedback from numerous people. So we have received comment on about 20 units. There are 65 units. So there's still plenty of others to comment on. One I know from now having looked a little bit more closely at the units, that the performance evidence at the moment is an area that we do need to build up. We need to strengthen the performance evidence. At the moment, the existing units have a lot of information in there, but it does duplicate what's in the performance criteria, and under the standards, that's not required. So we can really tighten up performance evidence too. So that we don't get to it all today, but down the track, particularly RTOs, if you've got feedback on the performance evidence, that would be terrific. So just to get started, maybe I'll just say, does anyone want to comment in particular on the Certificate 2 at the moment?
Just really briefly, I do not know exactly, it's Petra speaking, sorry. I don't know exactly the contents of the units, but what I could see is that the units of the cert 2 align pretty much with the units of the cert 3. So for me, it's a bit of a... I'm wondering if the person does the cert 2 and moves on to the cert 3, then of course the person already did the core units. And also we discussed that the cert 2 can be used for people like real estate agents and so on to get a feeling for surveying in spatial. So I think that the units do not quite reflect if overall we have this in our mind. Also the number of electives, there are lots of IT units. So a person could take four electives or how to use Excel or Microsoft Word, but the person would not learn anything about spatial in these units. So I think to limit those units would be good as well. And also the units only have spatial, not surveying, so spatial data, but no surveying data. So I think just if you really want to put effort into the search tool and to build and try to make it more attractive, I think it's not quite reflected on the unit level yet.
That's a good point, Petra. So would you be proposing that collect basic survey data, produce basic survey plans or something? Perform basic survey computations maybe. Oh, somebody's got the... I don't know how that can be. It must be my fault.
Just a moment, please. I have to open one of my documents, which...
Can you see? Have I got that shared on the screen? Is that two?
Yes. So the cert 3...
I'll try and bring up the cert 3 as well.
See, the core units are quite similar, and I think we do not reflect the target group which we discussed last time during the meeting, especially Mary Ann provided feedback. For example, if you think about real estate, then it would be good to have as one of the electives these drone law units and how to do basic flights. For example, if you want to look into the real estate sector.
Is that a viable option to use the search to into the real estate? I would have thought they had property units that they were developing that would be more appropriate.
I only base my comments on what Mary Ann said, that instead of giving the property market the opportunity to build their own kind of spatial units, that we maybe can offer something to them so we can keep them within our field and not pass this on to others. It's based on this feedback from Mary Ann. And I think Pat made it as well, developing the unit for the Rio Tinto guys.
But that will be fairly survey-oriented, I think, Petra, so I don't think it would be going out of the current competencies that we see there.
I mean, at the moment, there's not many learners enrolled in the cert 2.
No.
Now, if anyone from WA wants to speak to that?
Well, only that I think it will be developed and tailored to that particular client base. So I'm not sure that we want to play around too much with it in terms of the potential for the real estate that we really don't know.
Yeah, no, it's Pat here. I'd probably agree with that. I'm sorry, I was a bit late arriving, but yeah, I'd probably agree with that. I do have one comment which has actually gone into the feedback in relation to the mathematical unit, but I'll come back to that when you're ready to look at other issues with the cert 3.
Now, Petra, are you going to provide that feedback? I know you wanted to resubmit your questionnaire. Are you going to provide that feedback in writing that you've just commented on?
I can do that, no worries.
Thank you.
Right.
So that's the cert 2 of both, the cert 2. And is there anything people want to say about the certificate 3? It hasn't changed at all from the original
what it was. The only query, well, the only suggestion I would have is the Applied Mathematical Techniques Unit, MEM30012A. The reason for that is generally it's a good unit. There's no argument about that. We use it because we have a lot of students who are mature age who don't have the background information, background knowledge in their maths. So sometimes if people who want to come and do the course have a low level of skills, we might say to them, do this before they even come start. But generally, our students can come in and do this unit as part of the Cert 3, and it certainly helps them with their comps units and their surveying units with the maths. However, we were recently audited with this unit, and because we've contextualised it for surveying, it's actually an engineering unit. We were picked up by auditors that we weren't contextualise it. Well, basically they didn't like the way that we were doing it because they felt that there were some things we put very little, there's some areas that we really don't need in there. So the suggestion was that this be used as a basis, but we take out that stuff that's not needed by surveyors. And then when we ordered, this was, I think it was a national order, I can't remember now, we don't end up in problems with the auditors because we're not putting enough emphasis on something as far as they're concerned, or we're putting too much emphasis on another area, which for us is important, but not necessarily shown in the unit of competency itself. So it was really using this unit as a background unit and rewriting or taking out those parts we don't need, and perhaps even putting some bits in there that we think we do need. Anyway, I've also put that in. I know that that's gone in. I put that in as a suggestion with my other feedback. I would be quite happy to work on this unit with someone else because I know it's probably, you know, quite a bit of work to be done on it.
Well, from the project perspective, first of all, I'd say, is it possible that what you need from that unit could be incorporated into perform basic surveying computations? Because it's much easier to elaborate on that.
Yeah,
unit.
No. Yeah. No, it wouldn't be. That unit's quite for new students, and I know that we're not supposed to talk about time available, but we do have limited time with all of these units, of course, and to cover all of the, you know, underpinning maths. Some of our students come in, they can't rearrange a formula. They can't, you know, there's so much that particularly students who perhaps haven't got a particular level at school, but also we get a lot of mature age students who want to make a change in their career, particularly if they've been working on mine, you know, particularly working on mine sites in other capacities, and they realise that they'd like to take up surveying, and their background maths can sometimes be really, we have to go back to basics, even adding fractions. I mean, we're talking at sometimes quite a low level of maths we've got to actually incorporate. We couldn't do that in the basic comps unit.
Well, maybe if you could provide the feedback you think it should be in the unit.
We have exactly the same problem here, and we deal with that by...
Should we start coming out to
Can't quite hear you.
No, I can't hear either.
Now, whoever was talking about having the same problem, we can't quite hear you.
Sorry, from Change New South Wales, we deliver. I guess we could that previous comment that we definitely need those skills. There could be, I guess, a compliance issue around that has been raised with that engineering unit. So if we did have something that was contextualised, designed a bit more for the surveying side of things, I think that would be a positive thing.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, that feedback has come in before, so maybe if we could... I have got that feedback. I have heard people say that before, so we probably just have to get together with people who've got some input into it and see where we can take it.
Can't we create a spatial unit, a CPP unit based on technical maths? Why not create our own?
Well, that's what we talked about in the very beginning, didn't we, Peter? We talked about let's use perhaps one of these MEMs as an example, but if there's not anything suitable, then we might need to create our own. So, I mean, that's going to take some of you all getting together to help do that.
It's just picking the eyes out of a few engineering maths units and creating a spatial one. And
sounds like Peter's volunteering to lead that group.
Okay.
Looks like...
if we get what
good
we
on
want,
you, Peter.
That's fine. We'll just take the bits out of it. And as long as you're happy to go down that path, you end up with what you want.
That's my preference. My preference is that all of our things are, you know, ours, really.
Yep. Yep. Well, that would be helpful because, you know, we rely on experts to provide the content. So,
well, if anybody else is interested in this maths unit, then you should send their stuff to Pat Burke and I'll liaise you.
Well, just post in the chat that you're willing to help so that we can write that down.
That's fine. Send it to me and I'll deal with it.
We just need to know who else is interested so we know what they want in it, that's all.
Otherwise, Peter and Pat rule, and it'll be the Peter and Pat unit. That's how we'll, you know it anecdotally, right?
Francis, if you give people my email address, that's fine. I'll deal with all the feedback and I'll put something together for you.
Thanks, Pat. And then thanks in advance to everyone who's going to contribute. All right. Well, is there anything else on the Cert 3 people want to comment on?
Great. Sounds pretty good to me.
Okay. I'll, the Cert 4 next. So I'll just bring that one up. Okay. So the Cert 4, just to refresh everyone thinking about it, it is based on a combination of the certificate for surveying and the certificate for spatial. Under the packaging rules, there are four core. We've tried to make those four general and applicable to both areas of surveying and spatial. And then with the selection of electives, the electives, depending on whether you want to go the surveying track or the spatial track, you go surveying, you pick from group A. There's a list of 9 units there. You have to take a minimum of 7 units to give it the surveying, it's essentially like another core there, of the surveying emphasis. And then you can make up the other 4 units from the wider elective bank, any of the groups you could put in units. And the same model applies for facial. If you start with the four core and then you go to group B and you select seven, a minimum of seven from group B, and then you make up the other four units from A, group A, B or C. The qualification can be recognised by the specialisation that you do. So we did have some feedback along the way, and I tried as best I could to incorporate that feedback. Have you got any comments at the moment?
It's Renee here from Technique as well. We had a couple of as just Karen, unfortunately, meeting. She's our surveying teacher. She made the suggestion of a core unit for prompts that would also give it to our spatial students. So giving them that taste would then, I guess, be a good pathway when they, what is that, is it, you know, to say a degree, like I know so maybe including, I think it was 3020 as a core unit as a suggestion, so that spatial and surveying students do that.
We wouldn't want that as a core unit because our students would do that as a surveying, as a certificate two unit. So it would end up being, well, probably restricting us with the broadness of what we're offering our students.
Isn't that a core?
It's core in the, I'm not sure if it's core in the Cert 3. It's also a level 3 unit.
Well, maybe even.
I'm just looking at the Cert 3. Yes, it is a core in the Cert 3. So, our students would have already done that unit anyway. So it allows us to choose other units for our Cert 4. And if we leave it as a as an elective, people can still choose to use it. It wouldn't stop people using it.
Australia? Can you hear us in South Australia?
Yes, Robert.
Yeah. Just bear in mind that, while it's an elective for the surveying stream, that means that there's no maths for the spatial stream at all. And the other thing I'd like to comment on is, from what I gather, very little people in Australia teach the Cert 2 and Cert 3 in surveying. So, yeah, while it might be included in them and you teach it, what about all the other states that only teach Cert 4 and Diploma? Then, you know, we haven't already done those units and we actually use it as our introduction to maths at the moment.
Right. Could not the spatial stream choose to select to use that? I mean, it doesn't... People can still select to use that unit even if it's not, you know, if it's not actually a core unit. So it's not stopping people using it. It's just asking that it not be put in there as a core unit.
Yeah, it's definitely still available to use.
Yeah.
Yeah, but don't
you
think...
Is that what we want our graduates to do? There's still a risk that they come out with no maths.
I think that's significant. My opinion is that you need to have something in there for the spatial people. Otherwise, they're just not going to do it.
Okay.
Won't that be part of the delivery model that you'll set up as a provider, if that's what you want, if that's what the industry wants? Or are you saying the student's going to choose they don't want to do it, so they don't do it?
That's what I'm implying. If people don't have to do something, if it's a little bit difficult, they may just choose not to. And I think that has an impact on what we're trying to deliver.
Generally, the RTOs
select the electives. In theory, learners can select electives, but mostly it's the RTO that selects them.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm.
So the RTO, who knows what's needed, would select that elective.
But isn't that up to us now as the industry people, independent of RTOs, to say on the broad that we need spatial graduates, whether they're either spatial or surveying, to come out with a level of maths?
Correct.
Yes. So, would people be comfortable moving?
I don't know where to shift it, but I'd like to explore the issue of having it as core unit in both of them and what problem that creates. I don't actually think it creates a problem, and that way we solve it. Pat?
Look, I would argue against it, but if that happened, if we did decide to go down that path, we can live with that. Are we talking about an extra core unit, or are we actually talking about replacing it with someone else?
I just add it to the core, and when your students come across to do that, they will already have done it, so they can.
They will already have done it. So that's not a problem, but, yeah, we would rather have not had that, but we can live with it.
So moving the unit
Have it in both.
Oh, you can't, have it in both Group A and Group B.
You can't have it in both?
No, I think what Peter's saying is leave it as a core in Cert 3 and Cert 4.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Not putting them in group. Am I right, Peter?
Yeah.
Were you saying put it in Group A and Group B?
You can RPL them if they did it in Cert 3.
Is this what you're saying?
If it appears in both cores, if you've already done it, you get a tick for it, you don't do it again.
Yeah, we our students won't need an RPL from it. It'll just be considered that they've done that unit because it'll be on their record that they've done that unit already.
Is this what you're saying? For the certificate four, the surveying spatial, move that unit.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch all of that.
No, I'm still working on it.
He's not doing this very well. So is that what you're saying? Move that up to there?
Yes, that's right, and that's also so. It's in the Cert 3 and Cert 4 core. Is that an issue that satisfies everybody in terms of? So if you go into a Cert 4, you're forced to perform basic surveying comps because it's in the core. If you've come from a Cert 3, it's already been done because it's core there. That's doable. Is that acceptable?
That would make the core five.
Yeah, we can live with that.
Yeah, and from a TAFE point of view, it's just a case of statusing it from the Cert 3 over the Cert 4, so it's on the Cert 4 parchment as well.
Yeah, if they want, yeah, that's right. I don't think there's any technical reason you can't do that, is it?
No.
No, not at all. You just it's just an admin thing.
And then make an adjustment so that you have five core units and 10 electives. So in total still, the 15.
There's a reduction of one unit in Cert 4. Pat, is that going to be an issue, or should we say keep 11 electives and just have an additional?
Look, I can't see it as an issue at the moment. I can't see it as an issue at the moment. We would have preferred that not being the case because it allows us to give our students broader skill sets. But I will have a look at it more closely because I'll need to look at things more closely and get back to you if it does become more of an issue. It just reduces the scope of what we're able to, you know, develop for our students.
Yeah, need to see if it's going to be okay. But that's one solution.
Yeah.
One other solution may be to go back to the Cert 4 in surveying and Cert 4 in spatial if it's getting too watered down, either of them.
Yeah, we've been there. We
have been there, I know.
But, and we've been here before too. Same sort of problem.
Yeah. But that's what I mean. It's hard to solve and satisfy everyone with one thing, that's for sure. But it's another option.
Well, the driver for this was to improve the outcomes for the spatial side. The surveying side was okay. So this is being purely done for spatial.
At the cost of surveying, if you like, almost.
Well, it's a demand somewhere.
Mm. One of the other drivers of this was to get or to reduce the number of qualifications all up, but that hasn't happened anyway.
No, it hasn't.
No, it is hard to get an agreement because each state and territory has got a different, you know, the needs are different.
How about we, as like WA, it will compromise them a little bit, so they need to just have a look at this and Pat can provide some feedback to say it's not going to work or this is what we'd like to do, but everything else looks all right, so it's just needs looking at closely to make sure we're not disadvantaging the surveying area.
Just a little quick suggestion, if you did want to keep it at four core and the rest of elective, then maybe shift store and retrieve down into Group B. Would that work?
Well, that's being used by surveying, I think, as well, isn't it?
Yeah, I think we're using that thinner.
But they still can.
We could still use it out of Group B.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
For example, we don't use that one at the moment.
So move that to Group B?
Well, yeah. As an example?
There's not a real necessity to shift anything. We've just added one core. All it's doing is reducing the elective.
It's reducing the it reduces what we deliver in the search for.
So WA needs to have a look at that and see if that's not an issue we're creating by solving something else.
Okay. So, Pat, will
you look at that? Yeah, I will. Yeah, I'll talk to, you know, our industry people as well.
Hi, it's Jane Hayward here from Wollongong TAFE. I'm late to the meeting, sorry, because we're just getting our online classes going this week, but I've got a bit of a problem with a Cert 3 unit as a core and a Cert 4. I think it's just degrading the quality of the course.
I mean, under a qualification framework, from a technical point of view, that having one Cert 3 unit is not a major issue.
Well, no. There's only been inserted there to satisfy the spatial side, so is that a problem for them?
The issue we discussed this morning was the fact that if you set it at a higher level, it is too advanced for spatial students who have not studied at a basic level. And so the option was to put 4031 as core, but our surveying teachers felt that that was too advanced for spatial people who have done no maths. It was therefore better to set it at a level they could comprehend if they have not done it at Cert 3 level. And that is what we're talking about, isn't it?
So the 3020 does that.
However, there has been rulings from the auditors that even though a unit might be a level 3 unit, which we're all quite to, well, I suppose we all understand that if a level three unit, if a unit is at level three level, we teach it that. But there's also been auditors now that are coming to say to us, if a level three unit is in a level four qualification, it should be taught at the higher level. I'm just putting that forward. I'm not putting it through as an argument for anything. I'm just saying that's the feedback that we've got from the ASQA auditors.
But then the auditors...
And it doesn't sound very good.
No, the auditors would then expect a prerequisite competency to have been achieved. And we know that we cannot expect people entering a Cert 4 level necessarily to do a Level 3 unit as a prerequisite. Isn't it better to have it there and say, either you've done it because you've done Cert 3 in this particular field, or we require you to achieve this level before you go on?
Isn't that what we're doing here?
Exactly what we're doing here. That's what I'm saying. I'm fully supporting this proposal because it came out of discussions that we had this morning. That people do come into this subject area without the necessary maths.
Yeah.
Okay. So put it up there in the core at the moment. We've got five core and 10 electives.
Yep.
For the certificate for surveying facial. So are there any other comments, any other units? Or inclusion, things that didn't need to be there.
I just quickly want to confirm that if surveyors want to do the photogrammetry unit, they can do this as part of the electives, correct?
Okay. This one?
Yes.
So, Petra, what was your question?
I just wanted to confirm, because surveying students, they can also pick some units out of group B, meaning if they want to, they can select the photogrammetric mapping unit.
Yeah,
just to confirm that that's correct of my understanding.
Yeah, under the rules, they can select.
Cheers.
We'll go to the diploma of facial. Okay. Now, not many people deliver the diploma, so I'm wondering, Renee, do you have any feedback on the look of the diploma in facial?
Yeah, look, we found that there wasn't a
Renee, you're really hard to hear.
Yeah.
Is that better?
That's better.
Yeah. Thank you. We did try the
last one. No, sorry, Renee, that's not very good. You're buckling up there. Are you on your phone as well as on your computer?
I don't know if I can fix this.
Is that better?
Yeah, no, we did provide comments at the previous stage, so I don't think that was implemented and there was no feedback kind of changed since then. So I think from our perspective, it's sitting pretty similar to what it did, what it currently does. So, yeah, no, I think we're okay with that at the moment.
Good. Okay, then we'll go. Does anyone else want to say anything about the diploma of facial?
The feedback that I got actually was pretty good about it. People liked what they were seeing. With the new units, I'm trying to remember which.
Oh, that's the diploma
for the new unit.
Diploma of surveying. I'll just bring that up.
Oh, sorry, I thought you were talking about the diploma of surveying.
Oh, yeah, now. Yeah.
Sorry.
Okay, so the new units are in the elective group, and there's two from aviation. The I'll make one screen. Okay. Yeah, so these are the units. Launch control and recover remotely piloted aircraft apply principles of law to remote pilot aircraft systems ops. Capture and store big data, analyse big data. So the feedback from the last consultation session was that they wanted something on big data. So these are cross-sector units.
I've had feedback. Yeah, I've had feedback from my colleagues for around these units. There's obviously, because we haven't run them specifically at the moment, but generally they've said that they were happy that they would be able to incorporate what they needed to in those units, and, you know, see how they run and then give feedback next time if we needed to make changes. But generally that's the feedback that I've had so far from showing that to people here in the West.
I just want to have a quick point on that. Earlier today, it might have been you that said it about being audited and not really following the context of the unit. Reading both of these units, heavily aimed at like commercial or business sort of studies. They even referenced that both of your data sets, one needs to be transactional and one is non-transactional. Now, to me, that does not relate to the spatial industry very closely, definitely not the surveying part of it. Maybe GIS at a stretch, but I think both of these units are a bit of a risk because they don't relate.
Yep, I think you're right.
Have you got some other units that you know of that would be better?
No.
There was actually a project through the IRCs to do some big data stuff. I don't know if these are the units that ended up coming out of that. We actually put up our hand to be involved in that process, and we were never contacted. It was run by KPMG or Deloitte or one of them, which I'm like, really? Okay. So,
What's the context, Michelle? Is it to do with like laser scanning and bulk data collection stuff or what?
I mean, I don't think that was the purpose of what the government was thinking when they were creating some big data course. I thought it was all going to be about, you know, privacy protection and all that sort of stuff. Seems to be where it was
going. That's not the context data. For the gentleman that just spoke.
That was
the context for us. And certainly from the feedback that we had from our search conference a bit over a year ago now, our industry was saying how important it is that our students actually, you know, can analyse that data and make decisions about what data to use, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. So that was the feedback from our
search conference. Quickly want to jump in, sorry for that, but as far as I can recall from the last conversation, from the last webinar, we talked about managing of geodata, so geodata management. There is sometimes a correlation to big data, but not much. So I believe that I completely agree that the big data maybe is not what we need. What we need is how to manage large surveying and spatial data sets.
Yeah.
And that includes a discussion of which data to use for which kind of project and how to merge them together. And that's actually quite important, that for this kind of unit should not be elective. I actually even think it should be a core unit for the surveyors coming through. But the unit have to have focus on serving data, not on big data or spatial data, but serving data.
Just a bit of a suggestion. If it is the context of like laser scanning data, UAV, all those big data sets, what about maybe adding it, integrating into either planned spatial data, capture new spatial data, or integrate spatial surveying data sets? Those three units are heavily on project management and like structuring data and working out a workflow. Maybe that could be added into those.
Yep, I think it's a good idea.
What was the code, please?
That's not a bad idea.
3.2 and 5.2.
So, does 3.2 capture new spatial data?
Yep, so 3.1, 3.2 and 5.2.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
So maybe if there was a couple of dot points added to one or all of those, then, you know, depending on the context of what your projects are, that could be integrated into them.
Yep. We need suggestions about what sort of things, so people are going to have a chance of looking at them and then advising what you think should go in would be really helpful.
I have one more comment as well. The same for the aviation units. I think it's really important to cover the technical aspect of flying drones, which is the first unit, as well as legal aspects of flying drones. However, a surveyor would need more than how to control a UAV and how to know where to fly. Surveyor should know which kind of control network should be established, how to do camera calibration, how to do best practice for camera calibration. So I think it's really good to add these units, but they're again not really teach the students how to utilize the techniques for the surveying field.
Well, those units are really about managing the technology itself. And when you combine those with planning spatial data collection and capture new spatial data, you should be able to cover those things off you're talking about, Petra, and that's where it
all right. Yeah, I think it's a good suggestion, but it's really important that it's covered. I mean, to develop the units in this case, so it is actually covered, so control points and calibration.
Yeah, I think that's all in those spatial competencies. The aviation ones really are just about the laws and how you use those things. They're not about running them where you particularly want to go and picking up spatial data, so it has to happen somewhere else.
Yeah, so this is Richard here. I find that those aviation components there don't really sit within the surveying or spatial industry categories. They are flying, even the description there in RPAS.
They are flying units.
Battery, all this sort of stuff. That all gets taught on commercial courses. It's not survey related. We want to teach them the fundamentals of surveying and how to utilise the data which comes back from those. And as Petra was saying, how we set up survey ground to enable, you know, geolocation, georeferencing, rectification of imagery and all of those aspects, not how to actually use the device.
To be honest, the surveyor normally doesn't fly the drone, the surveyor presses a button because of the flight plan.
Well, we need some feedback from some people in New South Wales that are actually doing this. One of the people on the tag was involved, I think, so.
Yeah, it's Brian Hammonds. He isn't on the call today, so we might need to, he's on the, yeah. Francis, we might need to check in with Brian.
We've got the technical surveying part covered with those spatial competencies. Those aviation ones are really about, if you're now going to use that technology, you need to understand how to use them properly and the laws around it. So I think they're appropriate, as long as everybody doing them is going to be doing the spatial ones as well.
I've got a question for someone might know the rules better than I have. It's been probably over 5 years since I've done my RPAS, but wouldn't you have to have full operations manuals, like training both of those units in an RTO, unless you're a specific aviation RTO, would be an absolute nightmare as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, look, I agree. The full RPAS component there is all dealing with all the stuff that you're going to get taught in your RPAS course.
Yeah, so this is a ticket. This is better suited to a ticket, like going to get an RPAS license. And at the moment, a lot of the surveying drones, well, a general comment here, but a lot of the surveying drones are less than 2 kilo, so probably don't even need it.
I completely agree. I have my ticket as well. As long as you stand on 2 kilograms, then the majority do it. You don't need it. But again, we have to press. We have to push for the surveying aspects, not for the flying drones aspect.
Yeah, that's
Can I suggest
the aspect of it be covered under the conduct photogrammetric mapping unit?
Yeah, but whereas I think it's a diploma, so it means a higher level is required. While in a photogrammetric mapping, maybe just push button principle is fine, but I think for a diploma, maybe a higher level is required than the one from the cert 4.
That was certainly something that was strongly for.
Oh. It's Pat here. Someone suggested before that. I think it might have been Peter, but Brian Hammonds has had a lot to do with this in New South Wales. Perhaps if this feedback could go back to him and he can perhaps look at what might be the best way of meeting their needs in this area.
That's my suggestion.
Yeah. It does seem as though we probably need a bit more advice on this.
Karen McLean from TAFE New South Wales. I also have concerns about the UAVs, and I liken a UAV in surveying education to an iPhone. Like, it's a camera, you need the GPS to make it a piece of surveying equipment, and so I'd like to see the UAVs removed as an option for project use. And I'd like them to be secondary equipment options, so they'd be in line with a tape measure, things like that. I see the point. It's important to use them, but I don't think they are. The GPS in them is the surveying equipment.
I think that coming from a hydrographic survey background, it's important to understand how your equipment works, and perhaps that is the element of the AUVs that you should be pressing, how their inertial navigation systems use all integrate with their survey sensor, being whether it's a laser on there or whether it's photogrammetry. That's the principle that the surveyor needs to understand, and how then they can reduce their data to the correct data set, which has errors associated with those different componentries reduced or removed.
I also disagree that only the precision or the durability comes from the GPS in the drone. I mean, there's so much more to see there control points are used. And as any survey equipment, the calibration has to be done. But if students do not understand about the calibration, then they can't use the tool as well. So use a jigger and don't try to find the offset range for it. So I highly disagree with the comment that it only comes from the GPS, and highly agree with Richard that there's so much more to it.
Yeah, sorry, I don't mean my comment to be misunderstood. I mean it, like, we have UAVs in the Cert 3 as surveying equipment. In Cert 3 courses, I just think in introductory it should be put further back, that's all. But in all the courses, I'm seeing UAVs pop up as surveying equipment, which I agree with you, like my comment before wasn't entirely correct. It certainly is a piece of the surveying equipment, but I think in teaching basic principles, I'd like to see it moved as like it's not a project that you do at the very start of a course, if you get my drift. Yeah.
Yeah, you have to treat it with the complexity of any other of the main survey devices, like a total station, a base station, an RTK. You have to treat it with that complexity because it is quite a complex piece of equipment that needs to be understood so that they can better relate.
Yes, I absolutely second Richard's comment.
Okay.
So where are we with those aviation units? Are we saying we shouldn't have them?
We shouldn't have those particular ones, but we should certainly have aviation units which deal more technically with the componentry and how to bring that componentry out. For a survey with an aviation unit, how to acquire the data.
It sounds to me like Richard and Petra are happy to help you develop that, Francis. That's what I'm hearing. And Brian, I'm sure, would be happy to have input into that as well. I'll nominate him in his absence too.
Okay, well, I will follow up with Petra, Richard and Brian to try and determine what is required and how. And then from listening to what Karen's saying, I'm also thinking that just going back through relevant units where we include UAVs as part of equipment, I don't think they're in there at the moment.
No, they are.
Are they?
Yeah, but I'm not sure. I didn't think it was Cert 3. I read one this morning and it's listed as one of the pieces of equipment.
Okay. It's CPP SIS 3015. Wow. Just... I agree that it's surveying, like, UAVs are, important pieces of equipment we need for surveying. And my comment was probably misunderstood. What I mean is when you're starting to teach a beginner, I don't think UAVs is a starting place. I think a level, a total station and GNSS. Anyway.
This comes back to the progression that they take through the whole thing. You know, we want them to start at Cert 3 or Cert 4, not jump straight into a diploma. But we've had that argument before. I won't start it again. But
yeah, as the course is written at the moment in that Cert 3 program, you could run the projects with a scanner and a UAV and not use a level and a total station at all. I mean, no education institute would do that, but... I'm just highlighting a gap in that early entry training course that concerned me.
Mm. I also want to mention that all of them are elective, all right? So it's clear focus for the normal stuff first, the sort of station and levels and so on. So elective units, so maybe some of the units coming will never do any of the units.
What about 5062, which is the conduct photogrammetric mapping? Can that either be altered or bolstered up just to make sure it's covering off on the UAV data collection?
I agree with that.
Well, it's two different levels.
Yeah. I think you still need to have a look at that particular unit to see if what it covers off, and maybe spruce that up in order to make provision for drones or aerial survey through drones.
I'm a bit confused about the, I think it's Petra saying about it's to a different level. What do you mean by that?
Well, you can fly a drone and only use, for example, the GPS, which is built into the drone. You can have it as basic concepts. And then you can go the next step up where you really try to look into the control, which is established, the calibration procedures, and so on. So if you have it, because one is taught in a cert four and one is taught in a diploma, it's I think it's not, at least I think that's a difference.
Are we talking about the 5062 unit, which is a diploma unit?
So we at the moment with the diploma, right? But there was another unit in the cert four.
I think they're the same unit.
Then what I try to say that maybe we have to look into the unit in order to see what is done in the unit. And maybe for the diploma, we need a different level. We have to go more to the surveying greedy parts, not the introduction level.
Well, that should be happening in level five. Yeah.
All right.
Do you want me to bring that unit up to have a look at the unit?
That's probably your man.
Actually, we could look at the unit if you want to quickly do that. So, what the unit covers.
Well, I think it's not explicit mentioned control and calibration, but I haven't seen the actual delivery of the units, so maybe one of the people online has a better picture of if control points, the established control points, the geometry of the control points and calibration and so on is part of one of the points. I can't read it, but I'm happy to be guided from someone who has experience in the unit.
It's more like processing after you've collected it, so it's not what you're talking about, Petra, I don't think.
And that's what I mean. It's important to do the low-level stuff here, but then later on, if you really want to keep France in the program, to do actually the higher-level stuff, which also Richard mentioned beforehand, and also then the product, like the point clouds and point cloud processing and stockpile volume calculation and so on. But anyway, sorry. I think there are more important parts to discuss. Maybe so if you want, you can move on from that.
All right. Well, after the meeting, not directly today, but I'll be in touch with the people we nominated to Petra, Richard, and John Bryan.
Just scroll down a bit down to the performance evidence. It's got about ground control in there to pre-mark targets, primary ground, post-ground, secondary control.
Right, okay.
Yep.
Well, maybe we can modify the unit.
And while you're at it, you could probably, now the trend of having LiDAR on UAVs, that could possibly be added.
Do you guys think it all fits in one unit?
I still think that whilst this is dealing with, as we'd like, the setup of the understanding of the control on the ground, we're missing the aspect of understanding the technology itself. We get all the students to understand the technology of a total station, understand the technology of a GPS. We now need to make them understand what goes into these automated, not just aircraft, but vessels on the water as well, and all the other sensors and how they integrate to produce data, which could either be good quality or bad quality data. That's one component which we really haven't addressed.
Well,
Would that be something we could build up in capture new spatial data unit?
Given the modern way that it's all going now, I think that there definitely has to be an automatic or unmanned craft type of element in our modules going forward in the survey. We can't ignore it. We need to move into that technology. We need to train that technology. At the moment, we don't have any actual module which deals with automation in that regard.
And with the capture one, the way that unit stands now, depending on the two projects you choose, you know, at the moment, the way it's written, only do, you know, like Total Station and GNSS. So if you don't choose to do UAV, ROVs, whatever, then that all that stuff's no longer required in the unit, if you know what I mean. So I'm not sure where the best spot is for it, because it's highly dependent on the two projects that you do and what equipment gets chosen.
Some of those things may be able to be solved by applying them in the range conditions in subjects like integrated survey data sets, for example. The range conditions, if you are able to select a UAV of some description or a LiDAR or scanner or something like that as well. Just a range statement thing may be enough to solve some of them.
There are also a number of comments posted about just to call it a dynamic platform. So ROV and other dynamic devices can be included, which I think is a good idea, because it's important for the ROVs as well as the UAVs and whatever comes along. And the theory, the methods behind it are comparable.
So one way of doing that is just to have a range statement that means that you can select any form of new technology, if you like, to a large degree. New and emerging technologies.
I think that'll work, but I don't think it addresses Richard's issue about training the technology itself, or teaching people about the technology and how it all fits together. And I don't think that this is a place for it. I just don't know where.
All right. Well, obviously, we've got to work around there. There's quite a bit of work to try and sort out what's going to be needed in those units. So by the sound of it,
who's volunteering for that one, Francis?
Well, is it still not, I don't know who's going to volunteer. Richard, Petra, and Brian, that was the UAV.
That was the UAV, so...
Which one are you talking about? Dynamic platforms?
So you need somebody to look at the photogrammetry one, this 5062.
Maybe we better add Gabby to that list.
Okay. All right.
Okay, good. Good.
Okay. Right. Right. Well, I think we will close that. Yeah, close this one. And
so moving away from that a little bit, core subjects for the diploma. I'm not convinced still that locate underground services needs to be a core subject.
Oh. That's been a pretty strong message from industry that needs to be a core subject. So that industry's push for that one. Pretty significant problems that have occurred because that's not been done or hasn't been done correctly, et cetera. So we think that that's pretty, pretty key
for our technicians to be aware of.
Does that mean our students need to use the equipment or just understand that they need to get someone to locate them for?
Well, industry feels fairly strongly that if it's being done properly through the industry, and, you know, some of us would say through registered and licensed surveyors, that actually you'll get a better result. So that's a very strong push for the industry from our perspective. So, you know, each state might be approaching it slightly differently, but I can tell you that New South Wales feels very, very strongly about this one. We're the ones who've had the majority of the issues. So, yeah, it's pretty strong for that.
But is that the surveyor's fault that there's people doing a job outside that not properly?
There's a push to have it regulated.
Yeah.
So remember that we're not just planning and preparing training for what we currently teach and for what the current skill set of the industry is. This is for what's going to be needed in the next few years. So we think that there's going to be regulation is going to happen. There's a push up for that happening beyond what already exists in the Australian standards. And so there's going to be qualifications that are going to be required for locating and mapping. Whilst that's not currently the case, we expect that that will be the case moving forward.
To me, it seems a little bit like laying a pipe. Okay, so we're the ones who pick up exactly where the pipe is and tell them it's on the right grade, but we're not the ones actually laying the pipe. There's someone locating, as in physically locating, where the services are underground, and the surveyor is just mapping that, if you like, rather than picking up that location, rather than finding it in the first place.
I think that part of what Michelle is saying is that people are saying that we really need to get surveyors to understand what's involved in terms of locationing, and I don't think that's embedded in the training at the moment. I'm not sure, Michelle, though, that we can have that discussion if we don't include. I don't think we've got anybody here that's from the locators associations.
Yeah, that's right.
And so we should get those people involved in the discussion.
It just seems to me that we're doing someone else's job for them when they should be trained properly to do it themselves.
Or it means that we're potentially picking up, as Gabby suggested, the locators and so on that are just going out there buying equipment and doing it without any training at all. And So could there be some higher qualification, and they might end up coming into something like this and adding to their own skill set, et cetera. So there's a number of different options there. Ross, you can go ahead. I don't know which one of you is actually Ross.
Yes, Ross. Yeah.
Oh, good. you know, you can go ahead and put in your submission that you don't think that, you know, is necessary by all means. But I can tell you that there are strong submissions from WA and some of those things, strong submissions from New South Wales, that is cool.
I mean, we teach it. It's not a problem. We teach it, but I just don't think it's a core subject for us.
Yeah, pretty strong, isn't there, Frances, from a very large agency in New South Wales?
Yeah.
Has actually written content and has reviewed content and feels very, very strongly about this. So I think it's going to be in there.
I support Ross because of one when the event's a really big one in one state, to make it a core for all degrees across Australia. I think that's maybe pushing a bit too far. Whereas other elements like error propagation and more high level surveying things, where all of the fields of the survey would I think it would be more suitable like that. So something which is really applied for all, for the mining, hydrography, as well as land surveying.
You guys can go ahead and put that in your submissions. That's absolutely fine. But remember, this is industry and RTOs and the like that get to input into this. Yes. And it's not just the major transport departments. that are making this request. It's come from others within industry. It's very big in New South Wales because of some of the issues that we have faced, but we hear the same thing in Victoria and Queensland. So, you know, I think that there's some opportunities here, and there is a very strong push from industry for that. So, you know, let's see how the ultimate submissions come out, whether that changes, but I can tell you that that's certainly something I've heard from the very first meeting we had. This has been very, very strong from industry. So
I think we leave it until there's a drive to push it out, Michelle.
Yeah. Well, that's right.
It still seems that as an elective for those states who really feel they need it for their state...
Well, industry says that we don't... We feel that, like, the industry push... is that it needs to be taught, and it's not being taught.
Yeah.
That's new.
But, Michelle, there is a question whether it belongs within our environment. Does it belong in survey and spatial?
Yeah, it's actually
Where else would it fit? There's no other qualification that would fit in. That's the challenge.
Can I clarify, Michelle? You're saying that this was something that came from our surveying colleagues in industry at the various meetings that they've had? Because I think that's the question that was being asked.
Yes, it came up at the very first TAG meeting.
Yeah.
Very first.
Are they dealing with the ground penetrating x-rays and so forth that they want surveyors to use those devices and then peg out the area where that particular underground facility is? Is that the level or just, what is it?
As it stands, is actually contextualised in a surveying practice. So effectively you can even do the course without even touching a locating machine. You need a little bit of knowledge about it in the knowledge evidence, but you can actually just do a detailed survey with a level and pass this unit. So this is not a locating course. You go down to a small RTO that does that to get trained up on the equipment. Yes, you can actually teach them in the unit, but at the moment it's not mandatory in the unit for them to pick up a locating device.
As Michelle said, there has been feedback that's come in.
It's quite detailed. They've gone through the course content, and I'm not going to answer you on the actual how it's done. Remember, not a surveyor here. Just telling you what I hear in the bigger picture. So Frances has got quite a lot of feedback and commentary on that and going through the actual course content. So there'll be a little bit of a working group that will work on that to actually potentially make that a more robust offering. Because as you say, Richard, you know, potentially there's more business opportunities. It's an area that we think should be in surveying and spatial. And, you know, we're thinking a bit more future than just right now.
Well, the question is it really important, for example, for mine survey or hydrographic surveyors? If not, I think it just belongs to the engineering, for example. I can't see it as a core.
Very good point.
Okay, so we can go on to the advanced diploma. Sorry, I've got another meeting fairly soon, so I mean you can all continue without me. I'm conscious that we've lost a number of our industry reps on here, and the last time that happened, the whole thing got a bit, you know. So I've got to, you know, full representation, right?
All good.
Right, advanced diploma.
Right. There's some issues, I think, with this core setup we've got, Michelle, because the idea was to have specialisation, which is fine. This looks good, especially for hydrographic and for mining, but I couldn't see the hydrographic wanting to do those core, so maybe you need to have a serious look at this.
Well, I remember the last time we met, we hadn't, you know, we'd sort of talked about not having the advanced, and we agreed that, no, we definitely need to have the advanced, but we need to have that core and then break it down. So I think Frances has had a go at doing that, probably in consultation with a couple of you. But, yes, I agree with you. It's a little bit like Cert 2. It needs a good, although much more advanced, needs a good look at, you know, what we need to put in this.
Yeah. Is there a requirement to have course? Or could you just have the specialisation that says there's six units here, specialisation, you do them all, right? So you have six mining or something, and you have six hydrographic, and if there was, another requirement for an advanced diploma in the property somewhere in Victoria, which is not in here. So are you allowed to have that, so you don't have to have a core at all, or are you required to have a core?
We were thinking the same sort of deal. Do we need a core at all? Can we just specialise at the advanced level?
And they become core because it's a specialisation. You want an advanced diploma in mining, mine surveying, you have to do these, and you've already done your diploma. Is that a possibility?
I have seen one qualification that has one unit as a core. I think under a template... The template generally has a core and elective.
Well, managed risk would be fine because that's already in the advanced diploma, so you could do that. But and see, those core units are okay for what WA wants, but if you're doing hydrographic specialisation, I wouldn't have thought you'd want them at all. So we need to make it suit everybody.
The top one, the conduct GNS advanced.
That'd be fine. You could leave those two would be okay for that, wouldn't it? Yeah.
That one and maybe the remote sensing one, because you could apply sounders or something to that.
Right, okay. So you just need to rebuild the...
Okay, the remote sensing, which one's that, Ross?
6037. Okay. I'm not exactly sure what's in it, though, so I was sort of saying that with a little bit of a pinch of salt, if you like.
Can I just butt in here? It's Pat Burke. I've actually got to go because I have a class. My colleague Martin Robinson is going to take over to provide input into the advanced diploma. So I hope that's okay with everyone.
Thanks, Pat.
Yeah?
Yep.
Thanks, Pat.
Yep. All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Pat.
There's a land and engineering specification. Whether we've got anybody that's driving that. I wasn't sure that you wanted an advanced diploma.
Yeah, that came from the East Coast where it's not delivered. So we currently don't deliver an advanced in New South Wales, but they do deliver it in Victoria. But we said, well, why don't we deliver? Industry said, sorry, I should clarify who said it. Sorry to Renee and Sam on the call. Industry said, why don't we have an advanced diploma and help them get closer to their degrees if possible, and do something particularly in the engineering space, because I can tell you also that here there's going to be legislation that's going to require, and we suspect that our technical engineers are going to have to be registered, possibly under our Board of Surveyors. All this is all up in the air as a result of the Clear Gold Tier report, but we think this is all going to come. So we'd like to have a qualification ready to jump into that legislation as soon as it comes out. So that's a push from the East Coast.
That's a good thing, Michelle. That's fine, except that the electives you've got in that have been put in there, I guess they're just a first pass, but most of them are in the diploma. So you kind of have to rebuild that land and engineering one to be more suitable as a specialisation, given what you've already done in a diploma. So it needs a bit more work, I agree.
It's going to need a bit of work. And Francis will have to get somebody from New South Wales who's one pushing for it from industry involved in whatever group's going to try and help with that one.
Have you got any names, or you can let me know names of people that might be?
Would it be helpful if the jurisdictions welcome advanced diplomas put in their model and said, this is what we think we should have in a specialisation? And is that helpful, or so we don't argue about it all the time up here?
Yeah. There is, he was on the call last time. There are two people that are in the working groups from New South Wales, Francis, that I'm sure would be keen to be involved in that. They need a bit of guidance from some of the TAFE guys, though. So, Peter, they might need your input.
They certainly need to. TAFE people, but we've got a lot of overlap at the moment.
Maybe Sam can get involved in that as well from TAFE.
If I can add some comment there, Michelle.
Yes.
Yeah, that's Jerry here. I'm from Victoria here.
Yes, hi, Jerry.
Hi. Look, we've got a, I think I like what Peter said about just getting the core out of the advance and just only base it on electives. It's like a good idea because I don't like this level five course that we've got in there where we've got subdivision, which is a diploma level, manage risk. So really, when you go and look all of that, you don't really have a lot of room to move, and we just don't have enough. As far as we're concerned, we need to get courses from other qualification every time we want to put the advanced diploma together. And if we had all elective, maybe that would just help. But I know that we've got the mining, but for us, we've only got six electives to choose from. And yeah, it's very difficult. And I feel that the diploma's got 25 electives, and you've got to choose eight. And all our advanced diploma, we've only got six, and we've got to choose five. So I don't know if there's a, I don't know if anyone is writing anything. Do we need any, to bring any ideas, laser scanning courses? I think I was discussing that with Greg Thompson from Victoria.
Greg's pretty keen on that. So, I mean, you know, it'd be good to have you and Greg and a couple of the New South Wales guys potentially involved in the development of that, Terry. I think you're right. I think we need to, we just need to develop it. That's the problem that we've got, you know. We want to make it more robust, more appealing.
I think we should just force the specialisation. You should, you put in six competencies or whatever it takes and says you do them and that's it. And the same. So we could have a good land in the engineering property based one, but probably not with those competencies that are already in the diploma. So we need to sit down and put something in it.
That sounds perfectly reasonable to us in South Australia. Get rid of the core and just have specialisation in either mining, land or hydro.
Yeah.
It just sounds like a skill set.
Yeah.
Really a qualification.
Oh, no, it's a qualification.
It's a specialisation in those things because you've already picked up in theory all your basic survey knowledge and now we're just looking at getting essentially a licensing to go into mining, to go into hydro, to go into engineering.
So, Francis, what we're talking about is actually it is a qualification because in WA you need it to become a mining star, and we're hoping that in New South Wales you'll need it to become, we don't know what we're going to call it yet, but something. Okay. A licensed surveyor. I don't know. No, we can't use that term. I know. We'll come up with something.
It's a good opportunity to have advanced diplomas that focus on those specialisations, and that's a good thing going forward, I think.
Well, I have to do some investigation to find out if, under the standards for training packages, we can actually do that.
I've seen before qualification without core. So I think it's possible. So yeah, I've seen that before. I can't remember where, but yes, no, that's possible. So.
Well, I'd have to get it confirmed because we don't want to submit a case for endorsement and then get knocked back because we weren't following a standard.
Friends, if you looked at the diploma in water operations where all those hydrographic unit specialisations came from, they had two core units.
Yeah.
That's all they had, and they had all these specialisations. So, you know, we can live with two core units because two that everybody will do. It's no problem.
Okay. So two's different to none.
But thinking from a survey perspective, they've progressed up the level. What they haven't really progressed at the moment, I wrote a comment down there, would be a more advanced mathematical process of looking at their survey data, understanding error budgets, understanding uncertainties, and really getting stuck into how the different technologies, when all combined, develop a much more complex mathematical model for survey. And I think that if you wanted a core subject, if any of them, it should be something along the lines of the maths and science behind it.
Right.
You'd have to write it, Richard. Is that a volunteer call I hear there?
I've got one just in my back pocket.
So So would a possibility for that be something, again, like a higher level, if you like, of integrate data sets, and then as the second unit of core conduct GNS control, something like that is too, and they'd be pretty common, I'd have thought, to most.
Would that cover hydrographic okay?
That would cover hydro.
Yeah.
What we've found, even in the certification panel of advanced, for level one hydrographic surveyors, we're often rejecting our applicants because they don't understand and they can't work out the mathematical equation for budgets, for instance. So doing the maths behind the scenes and doing those fundamentals about how everything works and fits together is highly important as they move up. And they're going to go on to a degree, and the degree maths is going to be more complex as well. So it's a really good stepping stone up to that university.
Okay, good.
I agree from a university point of view. The majority of the TAFE students coming in, they normally don't have any issues with how to process survey data, but they struggle a lot with the math and the understanding of how things work together. So it would be from the pathway to university, something which I think is of advantage.
Right.
Richard, I was speaking this morning with industry in the hydro area and pitching this more at getting through to a level two being equivalent of, for instance, a category B, because this is never going to do a level one anyway, and level one is still going to be university. So to me, you probably don't need that higher level of maths at this stage.
Yeah, the level one certification, if you have a degree and you have this particular diploma,
yes,
will get you that level one. If you like, if you have a science degree which is not aligned to surveying, you might have an oceanography degree which deals with some sort of science and meteorology and oceanography. But if you have the diploma which demonstrates the surveying components of your profession, then you can actually get to level one. You don't necessarily need a survey degree to go with that.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from.
Also on that point you raised about the Category B, now for those who aren't aware, Category B is an international accreditation of a course. Having the hydrography component in this diploma would actually allow any RTO who wishes to pursue international recognition at an international Category B level of hydrographic training, it would actually allow them to achieve that, which will then open up their books to international students as well, and people in Australia who are after a CAP B course to get certification within the Australian domain and internationally, actually, because we're an international certification body. So that is a very large industry opening. But then it obviously comes back to where we're struggling to get RTO to take on those hydrographic aspects and actually start teaching.
Yeah. I don't think it'll ever be a Category B course, but it could be equivalent that the certification panel will recognise, yeah.
Okay.
Cool.
A bit of work on that one. Thank you, Joe. We appreciate your hanging about and your input. And Gabby, thank you also, just our two TAG members who've hung about and stayed with us. We appreciate your input. Have we covered everything, Frances?
Well, I just need to clarify. So with this advanced diploma, are the people who deliver an advanced diploma going to provide me with something that they would see as a good map of the qualification? Or do you want me to try and...
I think we're going to get Thierry to maybe take the lead in that for
yeah,
us.
Yeah, that's fine. And no problems.
Peter might input as well.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Yeah.
And although Peter's inputting into something else. So we'll share it around a little bit. But maybe if Thierry takes the lead on that one, particularly from the land and engineering side, we'll need Peter's input from the mining. And I think, Richard, is that you speaking up to have a look at the hydrography and make sure that one's all okay? I think Richard got quite a bit of work out of this call. Well done.
Given up volunteer work.
So Richard, I'm happy to help you with that as well. You know, it's
not a problem. Sure, good stuff, Ross.
The other thing in that hydro stuff is they're missing one of the units too. They've only gone six units instead of seven.
Oh, sorry. That was Oversight, probably.
Possibly, yeah.
Sorry. What's missing?
The very last unit, which is the PHY-SO-007. There's another one as well.
Okay.
So we appreciate everybody who's had input today, and we appreciate the input that you'll continue to have. So I think submissions formally close next Friday, and I think from that point then the major writing really commences. And so Francis will be in touch with the majority of people who've been on this call, and I think the people who are on the last call, and we will put out calls for the specific areas. I think Francis will talk about this offline, about how we'll go about this, but I think we'll just put out those calls and just confirm that we think we've got the right people. So if we nominated you and you don't really want to do it, we understand, we get it, but we might sort of say, well, we think it's this one, and this one that's going to help with that one, and we'll... make sure that we've sort of got a few of you working on the bits and pieces that need to be done. And then I don't know what happens after that, Francis. You know what happens
after that? Try and get that done really quickly to meet our timeline. So if people can put in written submissions or, you know, and happy to receive, if you've got suggestions, hopefully not marked up.
Do you have a format for the submission? Is there like a template for your submission or?
There's no template. We have asked people to go online and do it.
Okay.
But
document, Francis, if we put up a model based on what you've got on the screen, we can just send you a document. Say this is what we think should go into this.
Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah. Okay. Just modify the documents that you've sent out. Yeah, okay.
So, and Francis, if we want to have a new unit being written, is that something that's possible?
I think under the scope of work, we've already got 65 units, and there wasn't much scope. But Michelle, I wasn't in on the early tag.
I'm going to say yes, Thierry. I'm going to overrule. And you need a new unit, you let us know what it is, and if you can get majority of support, We'll go with it. What unit is it, by the way, in which?
We do a lot of laser scanning, so it sort of makes sense to have at least one where we can just really say, well, how about we just do some laser scanning, and then they get the qualification with, you know, undertake laser scanning, 3D design, whatever. But they've got the laser scanning word in that. I think for an advanced diploma, it sort of makes sense to go in that, so that's all.
Okay. Yeah. Put it up.
Yep. Yeah. I think we can do what we like with the advanced diploma because.
But someone's going to write it, yeah?
Yes, someone does, Terry.
Oh, good. Can I have two?
Brian Hammond would probably be keen to help you do that, so in New South Wales. There'd be a few people in New South Wales that will contribute. I'll nominate them, seeing they're not on the call.
So they're going to be writing.
Well, we don't sort of know how you take, like, the industry people that will input. But we don't really know, you know.
You need to put something together that looks like what you want.
Yeah.
Okay. Francis, can I just jump in for a second there?
Sure.
Sorry, it's Martin Robinson here. I've just stepped in to patch you. She had to go to a class. Just wanted to ask some questions on the UAV units that you are proposing for the diploma. I didn't hear any of her conversation regarding that, but I did see the name of the unit, so I was just wanted to get a general feel of what those units are going to contain. Can you give me a brief summary on that?
There was a very, very long discussion. There was a very, very long discussion about UAVs and where that fit.
Right.
Did we get a response in the end? Nope.
There's a working group looking at it.
There's a working group. That's right. Pat's on the working group, isn't she?
Yes, she's
leading it.
She's leading it.
So you'll have input there for sure. You'll be able to have input into that one.
Wasn't this being recorded, by the way?
It is being recorded.
Yeah.
Okay. That's great. No.
It's in hand.
Good. Okay. That's all I need to know. Thank you.
Fabulous.
Well, if anyone does have direct feedback on the units, I'd encourage you to get that in, because it's fine to say there's something wrong with the units, but unless we know what needs to go into them, it makes it very difficult. So if you've got ideas about what needs to be there, please let us know. Soon.
Thank you.
Fabulous. Thank you all so much for your input once again. We appreciate that. And if we feel that we need to call another one of these, we will, even if there's no formal consultation. But otherwise, I think we're probably down to the point where we need smaller groups of you all working on particular units. So if you want to put your hand up for one or another, then, you know, email Frances when she sends out some info. We might do a little bit of a something to figure that out. She and I'll talk about that offline. But we really appreciate your continued input. We couldn't do it without you all. So thank you. And we'll make sure you've got industry alongside you. So don't feel like you have to do it all, but you have to do the technical bits. But we'll make sure that we've got as many industry people contributing their time as well as you guys. So we know that I'll be keen for it. Thank you so much, everybody. We appreciate it. Remember to get your submissions in online by next Friday. Thank you.
Yep. All right. And people, I've got my email address and so on. If you want to talk about anything directly, just give me a call.
Do those submissions include individual unit rewriting and that sort of thing, or is it just draw?
Yep.
Do they have to be in by next Friday as well?
Yep.
The individual unit rewriting.
If you've got some, oh, well, not. Some things have come today which are new, but if you've got existing units that you know need adjustment.
Yeah. But some of them are just really badly written.
I know, and we are going to look at doing a cleanse in terms of the template.
So does that have to be done by next Friday, or we've got...
No, what we're wanting is what the people to tell us if there are, if units need to have additions or something in it that shouldn't be in it, but it doesn't have to be the completely polished thing. We're going on about that. We're going to do that polishing between now and the end of May. But we need the feedback before that so we can do the polishing. And we, of course, have to collect the feedback.
Yep.
And everybody has different ideas, so it's trying to find the middle way.
Yeah. Very good. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Okay, thank you.
See you.
Bye. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye, everyone. Oh, bye, Terry.
Bye.
Michelle, do you want to talk now or?
Yeah, I've got another meeting in 10 minutes, so.
All right.
I'm okay for 5 so that I can get another coffee or something.
All right.
Get me through my, I've got meetings up until. Okay. Yes, I've got to set a meeting. Right. So, you got all that, have you, Vince? Start writing away.
I'll see how I go.
Yeah.
I'll take directions first.
Look, I think we need to put those little groups together to work on those key areas. So those key areas that were raised... if you go back and either look at your notes or listen to the recording, if you can bear it, to work out which are the areas and who sort of was the most outward spoken. So I've got to be careful that